When I asked for a bag to put some stuff in this morning, my wife looked for a brown colored bag. And out she came with this one here that, isn't that beautiful? And I said, I don't care what it is. But anyway, it's not a gift passage package for anyone, okay? If it's your birthday, anniversary, whatever. No, I brought, I got some goodies here I want to share today. I was hoping to have on PowerPoint more or of some of the scriptures today, but when you live in the country, you never know what's going to happen, and especially with technology. Here back a while ago, only about 2 weeks ago, right, dear? Both our laptop and our regular computer went down. We waited 3 weeks, I think it was for the regular one to get fixed. And just at a critical time when we could have really used them. Now, that's life. Well, what has that got to do with today? Well, a log truck came in to our lane, and a neighbor was taking down some big pines, and the driver backed in okay, but when he went out, he did a real job to the telephone line. In front of our place, the cable was severed right in half. So, needless to say, it's not as easily fixed as going through Tim Hortons drive-thru. But anyway, finally we got it up and running. Now, I want to say to you gentlemen, I apologize for not being with you yesterday. I got to confess, I forgot about it. Marty did text me. Now, it has been one of those weeks. Have you ever had just one of those weeks? It was one of those weeks. And it was extremely stressful, and I just could not see that it'd be wise to take more time out of my schedule in prep for today and trying to recoup a little bit. But those, let me call it weeks, comes into everybody's life. And yes, it's times like that you wish the rapture would take place very quickly. And you know, what causes stress is people. And if we could just eliminate humanity, and those of us that are perfect, we're behind, it's going to, the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, folks, what a day this is going to be. But it's okay. That's life. And when you're in leadership, everybody knows, when you're in leadership, there's times that you have, quote, those weeks. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you are our all-sufficiency. I just want to thank you today that when we're at our lowest, you haven't abandoned us. Lord, you have not moved away, but Lord, you're present, and you're a very present help in time of need. And Lord, I want to thank you today that the anxieties and issues that come our way are not unknown to you. Lord, I want to thank you today that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I want to thank you for your indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit. And his ministry was to come to comfort us. And oh God, today I want to thank you that you're real. And Lord, you're still on the throne. And Lord, today as we address the subject that is before us, I just pray, Lord, even though we've heard it before, speak to us in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to turn this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm not going to tell you one thing that you don't already know. Okay? So you're going to say, then why are you sharing it? It's a burden that I've had. It's a concern that I've had. And I wanted this morning share for two reasons. Number one, that we might be reminded. And number two, that we might know how to use it. Okay? I want to remind you, and I'll get into the subject after we read this passage. Can I just pause for a second? This morning I was reminded that I have known five generations of the Aid family. I think this morning we have four generations in the back seat. Is that right? And Bill's dear mom, I knew real well. And that's really something, to have five generations that have come to this chapel and those that are involved in the ministry here. Okay, let's go to the scripture, and let's begin at verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gathering and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who had baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Galilee and went back once more to Judea. He went back to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, and he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? The Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, and who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, Go, call your husband and come back, and we know the rest of the story. I thought it was another person who wrote this particular book. Jeffrey Archer apparently is the author of a book called The Best Kept Secret. The Best Kept Secret. Now, you may wonder, what is the best kept secret? The best kept secret is the good news. Is the good news. One of the things I want to challenge you today is to think about is that so often we can live in our own little bubble. We can be so busy with life, but you know, our life is not only about Christ, but it's about others. And you know, we can sing songs in relationship to the gospel. We can revel ourselves in the truth of the gospel. But you know what? Do we share the gospel? Do we share the gospel, the good news? See, if I were to bring up a word that Jesus spoke of, just excuse me here. I'm not going to worry about it. Do you know what? I'm to the point in life, if I dribble down my shirt, you know, drinking coffee, whatever, or my pants are dirty, I don't care. So if this thing is stuck out there, I don't care. If it bothers you, forget about it. But you know, folks, we can read the scripture. Jesus uses the word hell more than heaven in scripture. See, one of the things we become consumed with is life. And as far as our destiny can be secured, my question is, how often do people pray for their children or their grandchildren or their neighbor? I think the truth be known. You know the answer. And please, 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 I don't say this in criticism. Please, I say it out of love. We hold up a prayer list in our church, okay? What are these requests? Is it for spiritual healing or is it for physical healing? No, I just want to challenge your thinking. I need to challenge my own. What's most important? It is spiritual healing. It is that, and we got to look beyond and to see that what it's all about. As I get older, and I'll finish that statement, as I get older, you know, the things that I held on tenaciously years ago, I've let slip and go by. Not that they're not important, okay? Not that I've turned my back on it. But you know, there's one thing. There's one thing that is absolutely necessary, and that people hear the good news about Jesus Christ. See, there's an eternity ahead. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And yet, we are apathetic. We are indifferent to the needs around us. Now, okay, I just want to use a little illustration. You know, if we were at a beach, and we saw somebody, say a child drowning, And we could run out to save them. Now, maybe in today's world, people don't want to get involved. Maybe they would stand back. But I don't think you would. You'd rush out to rescue that child. Oh, remember the old song we used to sing? Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. How many remember that song? Some of you old folk, yes, remember it. But anyway, we need to be praying. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I do my humble part to win that soul for thee. That should be our prayer every day. Now, one of the concerns I have, and before I move on, is that I'm uneasy when I hear some people respond or tell me how they responded to people who do not know Christ. Okay? What do I mean? They'll say, you must come to God. The answer in itself is true, but we have to be specific. You have to go through a door. What door? Where is that door? Okay, let's be specific. Because if they're going to come to the Father, they must come through whom? The Son. The Son. See, back a number of years ago, I think my dear wife and I have gone through probably 14 Alphas over the years. And one of the things I couldn't understand when I first heard about the Alpha and went through it is why didn't they start at Genesis and why didn't they start with the fall and go... They start in the New Testament and they start with Jesus. Well, you know what? He is part of the Godhead. And Jesus... He is really the key. Someone said, the Father thought it, the Son bought it, and the Holy Spirit brought it to our lives. Okay? So that's why Jesus Christ is important. See, the Holy Spirit came into the world to glorify Christ. Oh, yes, and to indwell the believer. When in Jesus' absence, but he said he was going to glorify Christ. And so when we go, how we respond to people, what are the messages that you've heard over? Just come to Jesus. You know, just come to Jesus. Just say this little prayer. Folks, yes, we got to talk to God in prayer. We need to come through the person of the Lord Jesus. But you know what they need to know? Why they're coming to Jesus. Why are they coming to Jesus? Are they just coming to Jesus because he's this compassionate friend and can answer or possibly will solve all their problems? Or do they come to Jesus because they know they have a broken relationship with God? And the other thing is that I really think it's important as we witness to people, they're coming to the Lord, oh, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. And Jesus, but Joshua, the deliverer. But oh, let's back up to Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means master. Oh, see, when we come to Jesus, he's not just going to be a good friend. He's not just a fire escape from hell. Jesus is Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe many times when it comes to salvation and people who trust in the Lord, do they know they're coming because they're sinners? And secondly, do they know they're coming to the Lord? They are now under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's my concern. I run across people and I question them. I question. See, one of the ways to get conversation with people, and I had this happen just in the last while, is, I don't barge right in. I just say, do you have any church connection? No. Okay? That generally tells you where you need to start. Then my next question, or if they say, yes, I go to Grace Bible Chapel, then I know they're ready for heaven. Now, if they tell me they're coming from an evangelical church, it's a good possibility they've heard the gospel. And then I'll ask them the question, have you ever put your faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, folks, I sometimes smile, and I ought not to. That is how people squirm around that. I remember sitting in the guy's home one time, and this guy wasn't well, and he lived up in our country. I didn't know him well. He was sick, and the elder and I went, and I got to, his last name was Robinson. So I knew right then he needed the Lord. Okay, his last name was Robinson. No relation, bless his heart. But anyway, I asked him, have you ever put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Well, did he do some squirt? Well, I was an altar boy. And I used to do this and I used to do that in the church. Folks, obviously, he didn't understand the question. Nor do I believe he ever responded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not only finding his Savior, but Lord. So it's amazing in different people's lives. Now, I had a good one day, and these are the kind you like. I was working at camp a number of years ago, and I get this call from a neighbor by the name of Stan. He's a bachelor. He lived in this old farmhouse. And back then, and still today, I can get calls but not know. I mean, it's not always about spiritual things, but can you fix things? So anyway, I jumped in the vehicle and went over his house, and I well remember it's indelibly imprinted in my mind. As I came through the kitchen door, there was a kitchen table there. He was at one end. I sat down on the other, and I said, Stan, what can I do to help you? And his response was, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Wow. You know what I had to do? I said, Stan, do you have a Bible? He said, there's one probably around there. This was not his home. He was staying in a relative's home. And he says, there's probably one around, but I wouldn't know where to find it. And I said, well, don't you move. I'll be right back. Well, I learned a lesson from that because now I carry in my truck a Bible. But anyway, out of it, I had the privilege that day. Can you turn my phone right off, dear? I think it's the bank wanting to borrow money from me, and I don't want to respond. There, that's good. See, and yet, you know what? There's other people in our life that we'll minister to and love them, and, you know, it's years before they come to Christ. I think of a dear old guy up in Winchester, Ontario. Last Sunday, there was a young couple came. They had two little children, and she's expecting. And I got talking to her afterwards. She was raised in Winchester Bible Chapel. Years ago, I went up there to minister, and I knew her family. But there was an old man, and what did this cause me to remember? There was an old gentleman, or pardon me, there was an elderly lady there that was Mrs. Black. She was faithful to the meetings. He never come out. Never come out. Do you know what I heard and thrilled my heart, even though he wasted a whole life? Before that man died, he gave his life to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, he had one faithful wife. And so what I'm saying is, it's not always, when it comes to witnessing, it's not always about a quick response, a quick harvest. Sometimes it takes years folks, all I want to say is don't give up praying. Four things, if we can get through them here this morning quickly. Four P's. We know what the problem is, and I've already addressed it. It all has to do with a snake. Now, I want to ask you a question. And this is why I need to go into my goodies here. Remember a few weeks ago, Tony Jones was here from Haiti. Haiti runs rampant with voodooism. Okay? That's why one of the reasons that country is totally, totally the way it is. But why did I bring this book? It wasn't written by Tony. But remember he mentioned there was a ministry in Haiti where he first started, and then he went up into the mountain country. Okay, the ministry that he went in to help start is still in existence. And one of the founders wrote this book, and it's about the Prince of Voodoo. He was a witch doctor. He was a very, a very important, a very significant person in voodooism. I want to just read something here because it's going to verify a scripture that sometimes people have doubts about. In the black of night, when Joseph Saint lay sleeping, a beautiful creature crept silently into his room. The lovely Haitian woman moved through the wall toward him, her long black dress swirling gracefully around her shapely figure. She had been sent by the Prince of Darkness to teach him about life as a voodoo prince. Joseph Saint was not surprised to see her. He had known someone would come. She appeared every night after his parents had fallen asleep to lie beside him on his thin sleeping mat. It gave her great joy to please him, and she was when she was there, Joseph Saint did feel happy and content. She was a Loa, an evil spirit sent from his master, appearing in the resplendent form of a female. Okay, folks, I'm not to my point yet. Brother John talked about the Nephilim in the book of Genesis. Now, why did God wipe out almost all of civilization except for a family? God doesn't tell us exactly. But you know what? There is a spirit world, and it's real. And many believe that the sons of God were fallen angels who co-inhabited with the daughters of men. Now, you know, we in here in America, in our culture, we say, how in the world can this ever happen? What do you think of this Lola that comes every night? Now, that's not, I got to find another page here. And where did I put it? Maybe I jumped ahead just a little too far. Here's a good one. Okay, this young man, Jewish saint, parents went to the witch doctor, the voodoo priest, wanting a child. They paid dearly for it, and they had a boy who was very intelligent. And he was going to be raised as a voodoo prince. Now listen to this. As the boy grew, he became bold in his calling and began exerting power and influence in negative ways. Before long, Joseph Saint was stealing from his parents and fellow villagers. Oh, folks, the Satan comes not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He led his gang in adventures and destruction and vandalism and sacrificing animals and ceremonies because and became a daily routine. Villagers felt threatened and hid their little children from Joseph Saint and his friends when their friends came. They already feared him. Everybody knew there would be no retribution from the village. A good witch doctor apprentice needs to be skilled in lying, cheating, and destruction. Now, this was written by her interviewing this man who was a witch doctor that got saved. Okay? Jewel Saint became more and more involved in voodoo ceremonies. Many knights found him and others leaders around the fire, chanting, dancing, piercing their bodies. Each time they chanted a particular prayer, a spirit came, Loa, in the form of, hey, folks, listen to this. A large snake appeared before them. Do you know anything about a snake in the garden? This is happening in Haiti. What about the book of Genesis? See, some people, they scoff at a snake speaking to Adam and Eve. Guess what, folks? It was Satan himself. And I want to read that because, see, we're not part of that culture. And I went online to read about voodooism. And you know, what's really interesting is they take it from a secular perspective, and they don't always reveal the dangers of it. They try to bring out, you know, what's good about it. Hey, we got to move on here. Now, is there anybody got to be home, take the roast out of the oven before 1 o'clock? Good. Okay. There's a problem. There's a bad decision. Okay, that's the problem we have. Okay, and when you're talking to somebody, oh, listen. See, we don't live in an age that everybody knows who Jesus is. We live in an ignorant society as far as the Word of God is concerned. We can't talk to the unchurched like we talk to church people. We have to start where they're at. And sometimes, and that's why we need to have some knowledge of apologetics. Now, that isn't apologizing. That's defense of the faith. Okay, one is, why do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Why do I believe that Jesus is the Christ? If I give you a piece of paper this morning, could you give me 10 reasons why you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And if I give you another piece of paper that said, give me 10 reasons why that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, see, people are not going to believe if we say, just because, I believe because. And you know what they're going to say? You only believe because your parents, you were raised in it. Folks, we have to have evidence. Talk to an atheist. I'm telling you that they are skilled. Now, we have to, no, they don't always accept our proofs or our, what's a better word for using evidence that we might have. But folks, I believe in this age, we need to be seeking out books that gives us proof. Okay, one, I don't know if I brought along with me today, I got a number here, but Lee Strobel. How many know about Lee Strobel? You know something, I talked to an atheist, and I mentioned Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ, and you know what he told me? I've already read it. I was shocked. Now, he still doesn't believe in Christ. But see, these are the kind of books that we need to be reading so that we can defend the faith. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to believe us, but that we have to understand our times. And people are ignorant to who Jesus Christ is. They're ignorant to that they're out of fellowship with God. So the first thing we have to deal with is the problem, and I got to quickly go on here. And the next one is the plan. God had a plan. Before the foundations of the earth, God had a plan, didn't he? God knew exactly what was going to happen, and that plan was in a person. And so what was our need? See, faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please God, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and it is a rewarder of them that seek him. See, it's by faith. You cannot prove God in a test tube. You can't say, well, I can prove. We have what we call theistic proofs. We're not going to deal with that today. But for the believer, it's easier for us to understand, but what about those that are dead in trespass and sin, blind? Okay, you either got to accept evolution or the Bible, and many people rather accept evolution because the consequences of believing in a God is kind of rather severe if we don't do it God's way, isn't it? But I know where you stand on this. So it's by faith. I want to move on here. How do we know we're saved? Two things. I'm just going to take a few minutes here today because I know there's people who doubt their salvation, and maybe there's someone here saying, well, how in the world do I know I'm even saved? Or somebody else is saved. Well, God knows. Only God knows who is saved. And the scripture says, according to Romans, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is not his. It's when the Spirit of God comes to indwell the heart of the believer, he's a child of God. All things pass away and all things become new. By their fruits you shall know them. See, I believe that in a person, there's people who have said a prayer, didn't know what they were really saying, and, they go away saying, well, okay, I'm a Christian because I prayed that prayer. Do you know what? There's going to be a lot of people in hell who thought they prayed the sinner's prayer, who did not sincerely mean it. Wow. We've made the gospel so simple. Just come to Jesus. If you want to come to Jesus, come forward and say this. I'm not against altar calls. What I am against is not making it clear what people are committing themselves to. And I go back to the one thing. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a new master now. You have a new master. And see, when it comes to confession and repentance, I got to speed up because with my voice, because there's a difference between confession and repentance. Confession is admitting your sin, confession before God. Repentance also means remorseful, but it's a 180. It's not a 360. We're going to go in the opposite. God, we agree with you, and we're going to go in the opposite direction. All things pass away, and all things become new. See, there are a lot of people that today think they can come to Jesus and still live in a life of sin. Folks, God knows whether they're saved or not, but they're living outside the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Okay. What about the assurance of salvation? What I call this, okay, if you want to just remember these words, problem, plan, proof, and post-conversion doubts. I had to have another P, so I said post-conversion doubts. I want to tell you this story. A dear lady who, I think now she must be at least 15, 20 years older than myself, and I knew her from a kid in Sunday school. And she played the piano for years, still plays it today. She called me up and said, Gary, can I come and see you? Well, when people say that, your old mind just races as to what in the world, what are they requesting? I knew it wasn't a loan, and I knew it wasn't marriage counseling, but she came to my place, and she was very agitated. And so when Inna sat down in the living room, and I called her by name, and I said, how can I help you? You know what she told me? This is a woman that probably sat at the Lord's table every Sunday morning. She was at church probably almost every Sunday because she played the piano. And you know what she said? Gary, I'm having an awful time with doubting my salvation. Would I have ever expected that from her? Absolutely. And you know what she told me? A granddaughter that she raised was in South Carolina, and she went through the same thing. She told her grandma, and this is a godly young lady who loves the Lord. Do you know what happens? The enemy whispers in her ear. He's a master at creating doubt. But you know, folks, there's something we cannot leave out of our lives. Is this. Because this is God's word. And what God says, I'm going to believe it. And the assurance, so how do I deal with assurance? I go back through the plan of salvation. And I say, was there a day that you bowed your knee and you acknowledged? And we went through that process. I didn't ask her to invite Jesus into her heart again. I asked her to acknowledge that God was right and that God had the answer. And thank Him for being in her life. Folks, do you know somebody who is doubting their salvation? Maybe you have people that you're doubting their salvation. Now, how do we know we're saved? I don't have a shadow of a doubt. Why? Because salvation is all about transformation. And that comes under sanctification. We don't need to get into that. It comes transformation. God has changed my life. I love to talk about the Lord. I love to be with God's people. I have a peace in my heart that passeth all understanding, the scripture. When I put my head down on the pillow at night, if God takes me in my sleep, I say to my wife, if I wake up dead, just praise the Lord. How many of you experienced that? That peace that passeth all understanding. I love to hear gospel music. I love it. See, that's because the Spirit of God lives within us and that we have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. God bless you, folks. I won't take you to 1 o'clock. We'll pray right now. Lord, challenge our hearts, I pray. Challenge our hearts as to how we know that we're a child of yours. Challenge us today, Lord, in our need of sharing our faith and preparation to share our faith. We just want to thank you today that you're real, and Lord, you are the answer to our lives. Thank you for each one today. In Jesus' name, amen.